listening friend. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, February 6, 2013. Do you feel prayed up? Well, you should be, because Jason just finished praying for this program. And Jason, you didn't just pray for the listener. You prayed for the generations of these listeners, the generations that will follow these listeners. And I thought, what a unique prayer as you ask God to use the broadcast, use what's said and shared, use the scriptural references, use maybe some of our illustrations to influence families, and not just the families that are living now, but their genealogies henceforth.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, gosh, that's kind of interesting that you would be that visionary. God, I want you to bless the relatives, the future relatives of these people henceforth, as I mentioned. And that's just kind of a unique way to pray.
Have you ever read, I mean, you know, some people gloss over them and they jump over them because they're sometimes in ways can be monotonous. But when you read, read Genesis, Exodus, you read all these early in the Bible, there's all these lineages that are given. You know, this person, if you're in King James, this person begat this person, begat this person, begat this person, begat this person. In fact, there's one in Genesis, that's all it says. This person was the father of this person, was the son of this person, was da-da-da. And have you ever noticed there's no details given? And I think that God gives us those genealogies to show us how he got from one place to the other, but also there's no information because they did nothing remarkable. They didn't do anything of for me, when I read that, I go, I want to live a remarkable life so that when God records my name down, there's information with it. Mm. And so I think that God records those generations. Look, it's everything in the Bible has an element of teaching or lesson. It's Torah. It's God's teaching. And so when I read those genealogies, it's telling me that I need to work on not just my generation, but the generations to come, and also in that pour into them the desire and the passion to live a life that's remarkable, not unremarkable, because that's what we see. Unremarkable things.
And yet also he's listing names of the ordinary, and that's most of us.
Sure.
We are ordinary, yet we can be vessels used of God and recorded in that book of life as we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Look, they still made the Bible, right?
Yeah. It's like what, John the Baptist, the least, what do they say, he will be the least in the kingdom? Or
yeah, well, he says, I must be the least so he can be the greatest. He's talking about Jesus.
Yeah. But, hey, I kind of set you up for another life lesson that I was learning today with having you come and help me get my kayak finally out of the river after it had been frozen and ice had built up inside of it and it was too heavy for me to lift out. But one of those lessons about attending to things before they get worse.
Well, it taught me a lesson. I'm not going to buy a kayak now.
Yeah. Use your friend's kayak.
Yeah.
But, hey, thanks for helping me with that. I'm still a little winded, but we're ready to go. And I think some of the winding comes because of the NyQuil. The NyQuiling, I call it doing the shiffle gulp. That's just kind of one of our private jokes. When we take our NyQuil, we take a good chug of it. But
if you ever get NyQuil, that little cap thing or cup that they put on the top, I don't know what that's for, but throw that away.
Yeah.
You measure it in gulps.
Yes. But that reminded me of Everybody Loves Raymond episode that I had recorded, and I watched it, I don't know, a week or two ago, but Deborah's sick, and Raymond, her husband's in bed with her, and I think they're arguing over something, and he says something that triggers Deborah to say, how about I bite your nose real hard? And then to which Raymond responds, that's the NyQuil talking. It's just so classic. I guess you'd have to have seen that. But, thank you, God, for medicines. Thank you, God,
for
that.
Does that explain some of the text messages I've received from you?
Yeah, that was the NyQuil talking. Actually, I said even this morning's program, I feel, I don't know, it's been, I mean, I'll be honest, up front, close and personal. It's been probably 30-plus years since I've had any kind of hangover. Not that I had a whole lot of them, but there's a few times maybe I had a couple extra beers with the guys or something. I don't know. It's been so long since, I mean, high school days. But anyways, I'm feeling a little dull in the brain today. So, but thank you, God. We've had some great guests this week. Michael Chitty on Monday, the Chief Educational Officer from Judah Christian, and we mentioned on Monday that we're going to be holding a special Merge Gospel series there. I guess a little over 2 months from today, 2 months, 2 months from tomorrow, I guess it'll be on the 11th of April, we'll be launching into a 12-part series. We're very excited about that, and I have a business sponsor that's helping us keep our costs down, so we appreciate Thrivent Financial for helping underwrite some of the costs. Yes. So we can keep the books at $20. If you purchase them on Amazon, they're like $39 or $29. Mm-hmm. I can't remember, but the cost will be $20, which will be all-inclusive for the materials and being able to provide that great gathering the second and fourth Thursdays beginning April 11th at Judah Christian School. So we appreciate Michael Chitty and the staff there for allowing us to use their facilities. And then yesterday, Jill Savage, we had her on. We called her up, and her Hearts at Home conference is coming to the Bloomington Normal area March 15th and 16th, and we highly recommend all the women in our area signing up. I know they fill that up really soon.
They do.
I'm sure there's still time to call in or to stop by heartsathome.org. heartsathome.org, get registered and be prepared to be blessed. And in fact, yesterday after the morning program aired, I got an email from a listener, a friend from Urbana area, and I couldn't print it out on my printer, but I forwarded it to you, and I think you have it on your iPad.
I do. And she says, happy Tuesday, Mark. The Hearts at Home program this morning and the comments shared really blessed me. It went right along with my devotional. I just finished reading on the treadmill that we think we should live perfect lives, and it's hard for perfectionists to get beyond ourselves and our performance. And she says, I still struggle, but was so encouraged by hearing this. And she goes on to make a really great comment at the end of this. She said, here's a thought for the day, moms. Where do you hear God's amazing yes in your life? And do you thank God for that yes? And I think that oftentimes, you know, we spend a lot of time hearing the no's, the words of condemnation. And you know what? The Romans says there is no condemnation in Christ. So when you hear the no's, that's not Jesus talking. That's the other guy who likes to come in and, you know, unannounced and cause trouble, kick over the stools and things like that. But, you know, moms, and not just moms, but dads, you know, it would apply to Mark. It would apply to me, pastors, just fellow followers of Christ who are journeying along. Where do you hear God's yes? And focus on God's yes. Focus on God. Draw near to Him, and He'll draw near to you, and you'll hear that yes even louder. And when you hear that no, you know, sometimes I say, there was a pastor that I heard Tim Brown, a number of years ago. He's from Bethel Seminary. And he said, you know, when the enemy comes at night, and he goes, and he will, he goes and he says this or he says that, he says, don't argue with him. He has good information. Instead, simply say, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And so when Satan comes and he comes with a no, just say, you know what? You probably have good information. I do screw up time to time. I do mess up. But I've been washed in the blood of Jesus' huge yes. And that's where I'm going to sit.
I know sometimes people will say when Satan comes knocking at the door, what you respond with, hey, Jesus, will you answer that?
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing, too. Somebody said that to me one time. They said, when Satan comes knocking at the door, and there was a senior saint with me, and he goes, he's got a key. He doesn't just knock at the door. He knows how to get it with the credit card thing.
Yeah.
You know, open
yeah.
the door. Do people still do that?
Yeah, some hotels.
When I was a kid, I remember my sister locked herself in the bedroom. And we had a friend who knew how to open up those locks using a credit card, like sticking the credit card in there and sliding it back
sure.
and forth.
I know how to do that.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything else
that's
you need to tell
that's
us?
That's how I got through my teenage years. Hey, I like another concept. You're kind of referencing it, but we always know whether it's Satan or the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will bring conviction, you know, allow us to become aware of the sin or the misdeed or the misstep or whatever, but there'll be conviction, and good, healthy conviction will cause us to recognize we've sinned, we've fallen short, but it'll draw us onto God's grace. We'll lean into God, we'll turn to Him. Condemnation that comes from Satan will always have us feel like we need to turn away from God or run away from God. And that's always the Satan, because the Holy Spirit would never bring condemnation on us. It would bring conviction on us so that we would turn to God. And whenever we feel like we're to run away from God, that is not of the Holy Spirit or of
God.
Well,
it draws out a huge theological argument. I mean, I've read tons of books on this, and it's a huge argument in the scholarly biblical world. And that is, do we view even the tough things that we do with God as a gift, or do we view them as a burden? I mean, do we view conviction by the Holy Spirit as a gift? I mean, is it a gift that the Holy Spirit loves us so much that He'll convey to us hard truths because He wants to see us move towards the best? He wants to see the best come out of us. Or do we see conviction as a burden because now we have to change away from the ways we want to be instead of living the life that God sees for us. I mean, God sees so far down the path that we do not. I mean, you know, God was molding and shaping me in ways that were very uncomfortable and very hard because he knew one day I was going to be a dad. He knew one day I was going to be a good husband, well, hopefully be a good husband. Need to ask my wife, not me. But, you know, God knew those things, so he was conforming me. But in my own limited sphere of understanding, I would think in those seasons, what are you doing? Do you even love me? Why are you doing these things to me? But now in hindsight, I mean, that's why hindsight is so powerful. You can look back and go, well, I was being molded and shaped for the place I'm going to be at today, not for the place I'm going to be at in the next moment. And I agree with you that you measure it by condemnation. You know, I preached this past weekend on we're in the Ephesians 6:10-20, the armor of God, this need that Christians have to put on the armor of God. And in it, we talked about the things that Satan does. What does Satan do to try and divide believers, you know, away from God? And what he does is, he number one, he sets up against the knowledge of God. You know, he tries to get us to doubt that God can do it. You know, first he gets us to doubt, can God do it? And then from there he moves us into, is God even able to do it? And from there, is God then even real? So he sets up against the knowledge of God. And he also then wants us to doubt God. He wants us to doubt the power and the personality and the character of God. And then Satan uses our friends and family. Job's wife is a great example. He uses our friends and family. That's why Jesus said, you're going to have to hate your mother and your father and your brother and sister and all this if you want to follow me. I have to be the most important person. I have to be the loudest voice in your life, because oftentimes Satan is going to use these other voices, which are lesser voices, against me. And then also, I think, and this is probably the most dangerous, one of the most dangerous, is that Satan likes to make it easy for us. He likes to give us comfort Christianity. You know, Satan helps us figure out our faith by making it look like a big comfortable couch, and then we lay on it, and pretty soon our faith and our following of Jesus is us snoozing on the couch. I think that's why Paul says some have fallen asleep. I think because they got on the big couch of Christianity and they fell asleep and they forgot that there is a tension in the Gospels, that when you follow Jesus, Paul even says that the Gospels are offensive to a lot of people. And they'll seem like craziness to people. I mean, it'll seem crazy, the things you do as a Christian.
Yeah, you'll even be perceived as like the stench of death to the unchurched, to people that are like hostile to you because of your faith and your beliefs.
Yeah, and then there's false teachers and multiple teachings. I mean, you can go to a Christian bookstore and look. I mean, in a bookstore that says Christian bookstore, there are books that challenge the notion of if hell exists. There's books that challenge the veracity of the Old Testament. Is it true? Is it God's word? There are books inside of a store that says Christian on the front marquee that are trying to erode and destroy what Christianity is. And then, you know, the one at the end that I think is fascinating, and it's, I think it's the one that every one of you out there will tell me that you deal with and that I deal with myself, is that Satan will come and he'll just tell you that you're not good enough. He'll come with those words of condemnation. And you know what? I'm going to be transparent here and share something that I shared on Sunday morning. Is that, you know what, I love to read and I love to study God's Word and I love to unwrap and understand what God's Word is saying. I mean, I never get tired of being in the deep water of God's Word. But I'll oftentimes read a book, or I'll hear somebody speak, or somebody will forward me a podcast or whatever, and I'll get done listening to that and I'll go, man, that guy is so smart. Gosh, I am not that smart. I am so not smart. And it's a word of condemnation. And I've really learned through the journey now to when Satan comes to me and he goes, you're not that smart. You know what I say? I say, you're right, I'm not. I am not that smart, but I'm tenacious. And I'm tenacious where God's word is concerned. And I love God's word. And I may not be that smart, but I'm not going to stop studying, and I'm not going to stop reading, and I'm not going to stop leaning into it. I'm going to get in the deepest part where I might be drowning in it. And I'm going to continue to be in it because I'm not going to allow you to divide me from God's word by telling me that I'm not good enough. Because you're right, I'm not good enough. But by God's invitation, I have been made good enough.
Well, and I think even Paul and Isaiah and the people that we think are, I like to use your term, the rock stars of Christianity back there, they saw themselves as the worms, as the least of these, and yet they were brilliant, or vessels used of God, and they just poured themselves out.
Yeah, Isaiah says, my best, it's a filthy rag.
Yeah.
Paul says,
and even more graphic than that.
Yeah, and Paul says, you know, Pharisee. I mean, Paul runs through his pedigree: Pharisee of the Pharisee, tribe of Benjamin, on the eighth day. Blah blah blah. He goes through all this, and he goes, but I consider it all lost to the surpassing knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ.
Hey, that was part of Founders Week on Monday night, and this is day three of Founders Week, knowing Christ, and they use that reference in Paul's pedigree and all these things about Paul, and he counted it all but lost.
You know what? I'm going to tell you this, and this is I'm going to have to get piped into Founders Week better, because I'm going to tell you what, last year I'm listening to Founders Week, and I had been all week in this. In that was when I was teaching through the Book of Revelation, okay. and they preached out of Revelation nonstop. Lutzer did, and those did. And then one of the speakers is referencing Ezekiel 33, which I read all the time, and I'm like, man, who's stealing my stuff?
Yeah.
And now this week.
Yeah, that was Monday. In fact, for those listeners that can tune in to WGNN, today will be the second morning session, 9:30. It'll be Erwin Lutzer, 10:45, Janet Parshall, and then tonight, Al Mohler. So that's her 9:30 to noon on WGNN 102.5, 103.9, and 97.1 FM. And the re-airing of this morning's program will only be on 89.3 FM, WGNJ, because from 7 to 9 p.m., we will have.
Wait, so we only get one play?
Yeah, so this is
it. Hey, does my agent know about this?
Yes. I'm going to have to cut your salary in half or something.
You haven't come through on the only blue M&Ms. You know, yeah. I only wanted blue M&Ms in my bowl.
Yeah, the perks are kind of tight around here. So Founders Week today, actually in a little while after this program, those of you that can tune in, WGNN. So I've appreciated the messages and how it's all worked. And those of you that expect to hear David Jeremiah at 9 p.m. I stay on the Moody Network until 9:29, basically, and so you'll hear David Jeremiah on WGNN at 9:29 exactly tonight. So whether you hear the morning program or the re-airing, know that Founders Week, all week long, Monday through Friday, will continue, and so we appreciate the live coverage from the Moody Memorial Church in Chicago. Wow, gosh, a lot going on. Rabbi Jesus is this Friday.
You bet. And we need to make an announcement concerning that, don't we? Because this Friday will be the final Rabbi Jesus. So this Friday will be the final Rabbi Jesus class, and we're going to finish tying up the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to talk about one other thing, and I'm excited for everybody to come, and then
we'll launch into the Merged Gospel series in April.
Yeah.
So, hey, I just for those of you that might.
I was contemplating, should I mention that there should be one more class, but there was a special conference that Tasha and I were invited to. Actually, I was invited, but I can bring my wife. And so any time when I can go and bring my wife along with ministry, and we can be able to get away together without the kids, and we can be able to worship together and be able to study God's word together and be able to do all those things. I love all of you, but I love her more.
You mean Tasha can't smuggle you into the Hearts at Home conference coming up?
No, I don't. She doesn't even want to tell me what's happening there.
We had a great comment with Jill Savage off the air about, you know, the guys want to just go to their garage, and when we see hearts in anything, we kind of like, not repulsive, but we just want to move away from that. Well, anyways, if you have one of those Rabbi Jesus little flyers and you do see it listed as a study on February 22nd, that will not happen this Friday. February 8th will be our last in the series, but you can begin praying up our Merged Gospel series that will happen in April, April 11th. You can find out more at our website, greatnewsradio.org. You'll see the book. It's 366 pages. I think a flyer or poster we had out said 360, but my edition must have a few extra pages. You know, like the Mark Gospels, I have a few extra editions.
And also, if any of the listeners who were planning on attending that last final session on the 22nd, if you email me at jschifo.cfcmuhammad@gmail.com, that's jschifo.cfcmuhammad@gmail.com, I'm going to send you enough teaching that you'll feel like you are at Rabbi Jesus for the final thing, because I have some of these pre-recorded, and I would love to get that in your hands, and you'll be able to listen to it, and you'll be able to feel like we had another night together.
Another email, which may be easier for our Great News Radio listeners to remember, is Jason at greatnewsradio.org. And also, Jason, I know when we're in Israel in about 24 days, we're going to have that series. You've been working on it. We're going to produce some of those teachings on the Rabbi Jesus series for our morning program that Monday through Friday, and then the following week, Monday through Wednesday. So people will also be able to hear that over the airwaves.
Yeah, you'll get a real polished version of that. You'll get, I'll talk nice and slow, and you'll be able to get it and hear it all. The time when we're walking in Israel, Mark and I, you'll be able to kind of join us in that Jewish journey of Jesus for that, I think it's about 7 days that it's going to air, right? It's going to air 5 days the first week and a few days the second week.
Yeah, I think 3 days, and then we'll have Joey Kroll that Thursday.
Joey's going to do a doubleheader at the end of the week and knock it out of the park.
So I think you get eight programs.
Eight programs. Man, oh, man, pretty soon it's like I'm on staff.
Yeah. Hey, I consider you on staff. You're on our website, greatnewsradio.org. It's just you don't get paid. Hey, the best of both worlds for me. Oh, well, lots to cover and communicate and share with y'all. We hope many of you are going to sign up for the Merge Gospel Series. You can find out more about that at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. And all of our morning programs, the editions of Mark and Friends, are archived at greatnewsradio.org. So maybe something that was said or shared today, you want to hear it again, or you want to pass it on to a friend, or those of you that missed yesterday's interview with Jill Savage. She did a wonderful job, and I think that Hearts of Home conference will be a great addition to your life if you can schedule the time to go. And then on Monday, you can hear a little more about Michael Chitty and Judah Christian and his faith journey. So those are all archived at greatnewsradio.org on our archived programs page. And if you haven't stopped by our website in a while, take a look around. We have our events calendar page, other updates, other specialties, lots of archive programs, and other things that you can find out more about this radio ministry. So thanks for listening today, everyone. Let me close out with some verses that Pastor Jason referenced earlier about condemnation, because, reading from Romans chapter 8, verse 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who did not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Friend, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. May you draw near to Him today and allow His Spirit to work in and through you. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.